Welcome back. You're listening to Cross the Border. That's the name of this program. My website is crosstheborder.org. And today we're continuing our trek through the book of Proverbs, going through the Bible here, chapter by chapter, verse by verse. And we ended up in Proverbs chapter 15. Let's see, how about verse, the sacrifice of the wicked. Verse 8, the sacrifice of the wicked is an abomination to Yahuwah, but the prayer of the upright is his delight. The way of the wicked is an abomination to Yahuwah. So let's define the wicked. The wicked are those who choose not to walk in his ways, that do not choose righteousness, that have said to themselves that I will not follow the commandments of God. And perhaps that was just for them Jews way back when. Yeah, that's it. I'll comfort myself with those words, or I'll comfort myself with the words the law of God was nailed to the cross, so we don't have to do that anymore. Let me see. Yes, but we'll obey every commandment of men. The way of the wicked is an abomination unto Yahuwah, but he loveth him that followeth after righteousness. Correction is grievous unto him that forsaketh the way, and he that hateth reproof shall die. And Jesus said, Yeshua, he said, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Well, you know what that means, don't you? That you're in the way, that you're seeking the way of righteousness. You're walking in the way. And there are people that are going to forsake the way. And here it is. Correction is grievous unto him that forsakes the way. So why did they forsake the way of the righteous? Because correction is grievous to them. They want to do what they want to do, and they don't want to be corrected. That's it. They love their own ways, right or wrong, or perhaps no one can convince them that their ways are wrong. Correction is grievous to him that forsaketh the way, and he that hateth reproof shall die. How can he write his law upon your heart? Everybody likes that, you know. Jeremiah said, after those days, and he was talking about after the Messiah comes, you know, when his Holy Spirit comes and works in our lives directly, we can enter boldly into the throne room to bring our requests before our Heavenly Father. At that time, he said, I will write my laws upon their hearts, and I will be their God, and they will be my people. But if you hate reproof, and if you don't like correction, what you're saying is, don't write that there on my heart. I hate that. I want to keep walking in my ways. I will not have your law written in my heart. Correction is grievous to him that forsakes the way. He that hates reproof shall die. Hell and destruction are before the Lord. How much more, then, the hearts of the children of men? A scorner loveth not one that reproveth him, neither will he go unto the wise. A merry heart maketh a cheerful countenance, but by sorrow of the heart the spirit is broken. The heart of him that hath understanding seeketh knowledge, but the mouth of fools feedeth on foolishness. All the days of the afflicted are evil, but he that is of a merry heart hath a continual feast. And who are these afflicted? All the days of the afflicted are evil. Yeah, people who fear everything, thinks the world is all against them. It's all about self-focus. Because I've seen people who are truly afflicted, but at the same time have a merry heart and have peace. Okay, so all the days of the afflicted are evil, but he that hath a merry heart has a continual feast. That's true. Well, what wise words, what beautiful words, really. He that is of a merry heart hath a continual feast. Better is little with the fear of Yahuwah than great treasure and trouble therewith. Better is a dinner of herbs where love is than a stalled ox and hatred therewith. A wrathful man stirreth up strife, but he that is slow to anger appeases strife. And, you know, I notice, like this one here, you know, this has been said, this is the third time at least that it's been said in a different manner. An important thing, though, and repetition in an education is very important. When I use the word education, of course, I'm talking about the learning of the knowledge of our Heavenly Father, not the idolatry that education has become in the world. They've raised up education to such an important state that everybody must have it. It's become, you know, mandatory, and they think that only experts can do it. And of course, that's all foisted upon us by special interests. But I believe in a separation of education and state. Not only do I believe in the separation of church and state, but I believe in the separation of education and state. Yes, there should be no law respecting any religion. And how does that First Amendment go? You know how it is. Or prohibiting the free exercise thereof. And education is all about religion. All education is really religious. And especially if you exclude religion from education, your education becomes irreligious. You just can't. If you include it, it's wrong. And if you exclude it, it's just as wrong. That's why there should be a separation of education and state. Education, I don't believe it should be mandatory. It's a good thing that people know how to read and write, but not everyone does. There are a lot of functional illiterates out there in the world, and it's fine. Not everyone is supposed to be the same. Not everyone is supposed to be pressed into the same mold. You know, they have to raise up those that, and then they have to lower down those that are higher achieving. Our Heavenly Father did not make everyone with the same aptitude. And now, you know, I know I'm stepping on a sacred cow of the world, and that is education. And that is because they've elevated education to idolatry. And the only reason, and it has to go that way, because it's anti-religious. And that is a religion in itself. If you exclude religion, it's wrong. And if you include it, it's wrong, because it's run by the state. We need a separation of education and state. You know, oh, got to bring prayer into public school and got to do this and no condoms and whatever. No, don't even enter into the argument. There is no argument. The statement is simply separate it. The state should not be in charge of education. There should be no public education. It should all be private, and it should not be forced. And free the people. Let them have their money. Let them keep their money so that they can educate their children. I would never put a child or a grandchild of mine in the public school system. I would not allow it. Homeschool is the best. Private Christian education is second best if you can't do the homeschool. And don't say you can't afford it. There is nothing that our Heavenly Father won't supply if we have a heart to keep His commandments. And we, by faith, step forward to do that. He will provide. You know, the just shall live by faith. He provides. He says, seek first my kingdom and my righteousness. You can't go, well, I can't afford to keep God's commandment and educate my children properly. I have to turn them over to the heathen, to the pagans. It's your responsibility. That's part of His family government. That is your job as a parent. It's your job to delegate it too. And if you delegate it to the heathen, then you're disobeying His commandment. You're turning your children over to a godless state, to an irreligious system. All education is religious, even if it is irreligious. That is the religion. Separation of school and state. How did I get to that? Yeah, it says the idolatry of education. The way of the slothful. Okay, a wrathful man stirs up strife, but he's slow to anger appeases strife. Proverbs 15, verse 19, the way of the slothful man is as a hedge of thorns, but the way of the righteous is made plain. A wise son maketh a glad father, but a foolish man despiseth his mother. Folly is joy to him that is destitute of wisdom. But a man of understanding walketh uprightly. Without counsel, purposes are disappointed, but in the multitude of counselors they are established. A man hath joy by the answer of his mouth, and a word spoken in due season. How good it is! the way of life is above to the wise, that he may depart from hell beneath. Yahuwah will destroy the house of the proud, but he will establish the border of the widow. The thoughts of the wicked are an abomination to Yahuwah, but the words of the pure are pleasant words. He that is greedy of gain troubleth his own house, but he that hateth gifts shall live. And I believe that's bribes in context. Greedy of gain, he that hateth bribes shall live. Yes, I see it in the Hebrew, in the Strong's there, it does say bribe. The heart of the righteous studieth to answer, but the mouth of the wicked poureth out evil things. Do you measure the words of your mouth? Do you give an answer quickly, or do you think things over? Slow. The heart of the righteous studieth to answer, but the mouth of the wicked pours out evil things. The Lord is far from the wicked. Yahuwah, our Creator, He's far from the wicked, but He hears the prayer of the righteous. So when the wicked pray, He's far from them. He doesn't hear them, but He hears the prayer of the righteous. The light of the eyes rejoiceth the heart, and a good report maketh the bones fat. The ear that heareth reproof shall live, abideth among the wise. The ears that heareth the reproof of life, okay, abideth among the wise. He that refuseth instruction despiseth his own soul, but he that heareth reproof getteth understanding. And, you know, it astounds me. You know, I grew up, and when I started going to the corporate church because I was interested in the things of our Heavenly Father, started reading the Bible. So, of course, I seek out other like-minded people. And I started going to attending corporate churches here and there because, you know, I didn't know any better that there was anything different out there, if there was anything different out there. And, yes, they had the Word of God, and yes, there are a lot of good, well-intentioned and well-meaning people in the corporate churches. I believe that there's a lot of wheat among the tares. Perhaps I should say it the other way. There's a lot of tares among the wheat. And I guess the church would be a place for the wheat to be more plenteous than the tares. At least you would hope so. So there are good people in there. But I learned that basically I was to rely on the New Testament and not the Old Testament, because the Old Testament was for the Jews, and of course the New Testament was for the church, and we're a New Testament church and all of that. But reading through this and reading through the Old Testament, I really don't find much difference, to tell you the truth. The difference, of course, is that the Redeemer that was promised in the Old, that He appeared, and then the New was written to include His appearance. So there are those differences. But in the words and the instruction, it's like the fear, he that refuseth instruction despises his own soul, but he that heareth reproof getteth understanding. Now, how is that different than seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness? How's that different? Because if you don't seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, then why would you not do that? Well, because you don't hear reproof. Because you hate you refuse instruction. It's the same thing. You know, it's just said in a different way, perhaps in a better way. I don't know. But it's all the word of our Heavenly Father. And I see the same lessons on both sides of that great divide between the Old and the New Testament. I see the same lessons. The same law, the same kingdom, the same remnant, the people that made the same choice, that choice to choose a life of obedience to the Heavenly Father, as opposed to a life of just satisfying themselves and chasing after things and following the idolatry of things, worship of things, rather than the worship of the Creator. So he that refuses instruction despises his own soul. And you know what? The instruction isn't from me. The instruction is from His book. The instruction is His word. It's His truth. And if you refuse that instruction, if you hate the word of God, Or you're able to just cling to all of the cliches, like the law was nailed to the cross, that was for the Jews, and that was the Old Testament. And I only do the New Testament because somehow you think that that gives you liberty that you can use as an occasion for your flesh to continue in your pursuit of things, then you're refusing the very instruction that you claim to cling to, that you claim to embrace. But he that heareth reproof getteth understanding. The fear of the Lord is the instruction of wisdom, and before honor is humility. Yes, it takes humility to say, instruct me. It takes humility to say, what I was, the way I thought, and the things I did were wrong. That's the humility that comes before honor, because it allows instruction. It allows reproof to come into your life and to raise you up. Proverbs chapter 16 and verse 1. The preparation of the heart in man and the answer of the tongue is from Yahuwah, our Creator. It's from Him, it says. The preparations of the heart in man. All the ways of man are clean in his own eyes. And here we're talking about the prideful. All the ways of a man are clean in his own eyes, but the Lord weighs the spirits. Commit thy works unto Yahuwah. Commit your works unto the Creator, and thy thoughts shall be established. Yahuwah hath made all things for himself, yes, even the wicked for the day of evil. Imagine that. Even the wicked for the day of evil. Everyone that is proud in heart is an abomination to the Lord. Though hand join in hand, he shall not be unpunished. And we discuss that, you know. Doesn't matter if the crowd, it doesn't matter if the majority. What I see in reading my scripture, in reading history, I see that in times of trouble, in times that the nation was departing from the Lord, from the Creator, from His laws and His ways, as it seems to be the way of every nation that has risen and fallen throughout all of history, but specifically in Israel, because we have this chronology in the scripture, we have this history of how He dealt with those people that were called by His name, that He only had a remnant. Though the whole nation went astray, though the nation was punished to destruction, to desolation, by their abominations that led to the desolation of that nation, He had His remnant. And the remnant was so small, apparently, that it couldn't spare the nation. I believe that's the position of the land I live in. Though they cry out and they go to their gods and their idols, from Rush Jones and whoever else says they've got a plan, and they raise them up, and they all get angry together, and they all point at the sins of other people together. But they don't think about volunteering to cross the border into the kingdom of our Heavenly Father. They don't think about saying, I only want to do the things that please Him. Let me look into His law. Let me examine my ways to see if anything that I'm doing, any agreement that I've entered into, anything that I'm participating in, is not pleasing to Him, so that I can repent and not do that thing. They're not doing that. They don't want to lose their benefits, or they fear man, so they won't do that. Well, their idols won't save them. And I'm afraid that the remnant is like the remnant of Israel in the day of destruction, small, not able to save the nation. You know, it's disheartening to say this about the land that I live in and the people that are around me. But I know I'm a minority. All the ways of a man are clean in his own eyes, but Yahuwah weigheth the spirits. Commit thy works unto Yahuwah. That's everything that your hand finds to do, and everything that you've done. It's still your works. It's still working in your life. Examine it. Commit it to Him. And if it's unclean, you have to rout it out and cast it from you. You can't say, well, I'm going to lose benefits, or people might not like it, or I might... they might persecute me, or, you know, it's like I was saying yesterday. What makes you think that if you won't go against the beast to keep His commandments now, if you won't rout out the things in your life that go against His law and His commandments now, because you will lose benefits, or because people might not like it, or they might think you're a conspiracy nut or some kind of religious nut, if you won't do it now, what makes you think that in some fictional state of the future, when, you know, the Antichrist character rises up and commands everyone to get a mark to buy or sell or trade, what makes you think that you're going to be able to stand up then and say, oh, now God's law is important to me? It was never important to me before, but now it is? No, you'll just find a way to justify it like you justify everything else, because that's what the majority does. Those that are on the highway to hell, that's what they do. But that's not what his remnant does. His remnant examines everything they've done and everything they do, and they learn to walk uprightly, and they learn to repent and rout out those things in their life that are displeasing to our Heavenly Father, that go against his law. That's what the righteous do. But the ways of a man are clean in his own eyes, but Yahuwah, he weighs the spirits. It's time to weigh your spirit and examine your motives for the compromises and the decisions that are made there. Commit your works unto Yahuwah, and thy thoughts shall be established. The Lord hath made all things for himself. Yahuwah, our Creator, by name here in the Hebrew. He made all things for himself. Yes, even the wicked for the day of evil. What have you been made for? You know, I certainly don't want to be one of those wicked that were made for the day of evil. Have mercy on me, Father. Let me be one of the righteous. Please, whatever it takes, you know, correct me, chastise me, write your law in my heart. Help me to love instruction. Help me to embrace reproof. That's my prayer. That's my cry for mercy. Everyone that is proud in heart is an abomination to Yahuwah. Though hand join in hand, and there we're talking about the majority, he shall not be unpunished. And that's what the world thinks. The more people they can get to participate in their sin, the better off it'll be. You know, that somehow that'll make it right. They'll be able to stand before God and say, hey, we, the majority, you know, think your law is wrong and you should change it for us. No, his law never changes. It's, you know, it's not like the laws of men. He ain't up there sitting up there taking bribes to change his law. No way. And he doesn't care how many people you bring a petition and go, we think adultery should be okay. And yes, we think we ought to be able to murder the innocent unborn in the womb. You need to change your law, Heavenly Father. Did we make enough contributions? His law never changes. We'll be back in a couple minutes. Don't go anywhere. You're listening to Cross the Border.